Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff, and let's see what's on the agenda for today. We got the Alliance American Football possibly folding due to, well, we'll talk about it. Also, Josh Rosen and his potential trade, and there are three teams interested in the acquisition of one Josh Rosen. The former first-round pick last year, arguably the potential number one overall pick last year, but dropped down to the Cardinals' lap as it really didn't turn out very well. But also, we will be talking about the new pass interference rule that has been changed, so now they can be reviewable. We also will discuss that, as well as we'll also briefly talk about Jerry Nelson retiring his career with the... Well, I guess we'll talk about it right now. He had a great career with the Packers, won a Super Bowl ring, and kind of let himself down during the Raiders' tenure, but he was a great player nonetheless. And we'll also talk about how executives are worried about Antonio Brown and the trade of him to the Oakland Raiders, and what could this mean for the future? We'll talk all about that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Josh Rosen and his potential trade from the Arizona Cardinals. Well, let's talk about the three teams, because there are three teams that have seen most intrigued in acquiring Josh Rosen. And obviously, they're not teams that want to make him a starter right away. And I think that's the best thing for him, because I am a guy that says this countless times. Quarterbacks, especially in the NFL when they're drafted, should not start right away. They should be on the bench, second string, and marinate, trying to figure out the playbook as well, because those playbooks are extremely long. And of course, they probably don't have a lot of time to actually learn those playbooks in time for the regular season to begin, let alone the preseason. And so, it's just, to me, I always thought they were like set up for failure if they're starting right away. I feel like only a very few select of, even like I've said this before, Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year. Then he went 13-3. See, it's all about marination. And I mean, look at as early as Patrick Mahomes. 1 year off and then, boom, he's an NFL MVP. So I think it's more along the lines of you got to give these guys time to marinate, get used to the playbook, get used to the offense, get used to the pace that the NFL is, and then you can let them loose. Only a few guys can be let loose right away. I know Baker Mayfield had a great season last year with 26 touchdown passes. I get that, but I would much rather have my first-round draft pick quarterback sit out for at least one season than put him into the Wolves right away and have him have his confidence broken. I'm the advocate of that kind of situation. And where Josh Rosen might be ending up, whether it's the Patriots, the Chargers, or the Giants, those are the three teams that are actually the most interested in him. Those all three are great places just based off the fact they already have a starting quarterback. The Giants have Eli, Patriots have Brady, and of course the Chargers have Rivers. And I think it's a win-win in that scenario for Josh Rosen. He gets to go to a new team behind a veteran quarterback, marinate for about at least one year. For the Patriots, it'll probably be more. For the Chargers, probably more. For the Giants, it might be at most two seasons of behind Eli Manning. And then and then you can I know a contract ends next year, but if they re-sign a 1-year deal, that would not surprise me. So what I'm just saying is, like, there's so many more there's so much better opportunities when you're behind the veteran quarterback when you're first starting rather than starting right away into the wolves. I just like that turning point during that whole scenario. And with these guys offering stuff for the Arizona Cardinals, if the Cardinals do take it before the draft, these trades, it's a foregone conclusion that Kyler Murray's going number one. And overall, like, this seemed to be like on the Nick Bosa draft, but obviously it didn't turn out that way. It looks like Kyler Murray's going to go number one. So is that good for the Cardinals, or is that even better for the number two overall pick, which is could be the San Francisco 49ers, or they trade that pick thinking, hey, you guys can get Nick Bosa, give us a couple first-round picks for the future, and we'll give you this pick. That's obviously a complete that's a theory of which what they will pull. But I'm thinking more along the lines of the 49ers are looking at one of the top defensive players in the draft, and they might get the best defensive player in the draft, Nick Bosa, if Kyler Murray goes number one. So this might be a huge boost for the 49ers as they just acquired Dee Ford and Kwon Alexander for their defense. This can only improve it. As well as the great defensive lineman that DeForest Buckner has become with 12 sacks last season, this could really boost the 49ers if the Cardinals do take Kyler Murray at number one. So who wins in that trade? Do either the Patriots, Giants, or Chargers win the trade for trading? I believe they're all talking about a second-round pick for Rosen, which seems about right to me. And then you're looking at the Cardinals getting Kyler Murray with the number one pick and an extra second-round pick. Or are you looking at the number two 49ers overall pick where they will get the best defensive player in the draft in either Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, or Josh Allen, or anyone for that matter that's going to be available? So it's going to be an interesting draft, to say the least, as we're the road to Nashville, Tennessee, where the draft is being held. I do like the fact they're actually changing the destination of these draft to big-time stadiums because it's becoming a phenomenon. It's a big deal, the NFL draft is. So we'll see how everything turns out. Honestly, I don't think we'll see another quarterback selected after Kyler Murray until the teens because, I thought the Jets, or I guess there's also the Giants and Dwayne Haskins, but if they do get Josh Rosen, they're not going to draft a quarterback. So again, we're back to maybe then Dwayne Haskins gets dropped like a light or like a rock and gets selected in the teens. You know, it just seems that there's a lot of different scenarios that can happen when it comes down to the Josh Rosen, if he does get traded, and where does he get traded, what happens, what's the outcomes, and all these other things. So that right now is the biggest story so far in the NFL, of if Josh Rosen's going, where is he going to and what for. And so we narrowed it down to about, the three teams, the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Giants. And we've narrowed down what they're going to trade for to the second-round pick in the draft. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but I'm assuming it's this year. So they're adding a second-round pick to their arsenal, which could help the Cardinals in the long run. But again, it's the Cardinals. They've never been really the best at drafting except for, Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson. Have they drafted anybody else of note? I don't think so. Usually it's the retirement home. Look, Terrell Suggs is signing with them, and he's 38, I think. He's really up there in age. So, I mean, it just seems like it's the place where you end your career. Not in the sense of, you're going to play so bad there that your career's over. No, it's you're at the end of your career. You're finishing up. They're the only ones that will take you because of your name, not your talent, because your talent's kind of gone. Emmitt Smith signed with the Cardinals when he was 34, 35. So obviously it's one of those places where they go for the namesake, not the talent's sake. So that being said, where would Josh Rosen best fit? The Chargers, the Patriots, or the Giants? And I have an answer to that. To me, It seems obvious, but I think the Patriots are the best case scenario. One, you're under Bill Belichick and you're under Tom Brady for at least 3 or 4 years marinating. And I think that's the best case scenario. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is a perfect example, and he's a franchise quarterback, supposed franchise quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, getting a humongous contract for them. So I guess in a sense, like, I just 4 or 5 years under Belichick is what I think is the winner there. And like, Belichick knows how to develop players, and he will use you to your best if he wants you. I think he wants him. So I think that'd be the best fit for him. Obviously, if he wants to play as soon as possible, the New York Giants will be the place to be, because Eli Manning is, of all the three veteran quarterbacks on each of these teams, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, and Eli Manning, Eli Manning's closer out the door than any other of them. So that's how I see it. So, with that being said, if he does go to the Chargers, I think he'll be fine as well, but he will be with an defensive-minded head coach, so it won't be the same as Bill Belichick, who did start as a defensive coordinator, that's true, but he's developed into a great quarterback-minded coach, and he knows how to get the best out of every player on the field, regardless of position. So that's just how I see it. I think just if you want better coaching and better time to marinate, that's it. The New England Patriots are the way to go if you're Josh Rosen. And again, if you want the quicker route, go to New York. And if you want kind of the same route, both sides, starting a little earlier and developing under a good veteran quarterback, then the Chargers will be the middle of the pack. But again, that's not up to him. It's up to what the Cardinals will accept. Because I feel like they're going to wait a little bit, maybe even wait till the draft to accept, so people won't know exactly who they're going to draft, and so their whole drafting will go awry. But like I said, if they do get Josh Rosen out of Arizona, then they are getting Kyler Murray. It's just, that's just what's going to happen, definitely.
Overall,
when do I expect Josh Rosen to be traded? I say by at least... let's see. The draft is like end of April. So I will say by let's see if I look at my calendar here. By April the 10th, that's about a couple weeks on a Wednesday, he will be traded. Unknown where. I don't think the Patriots, because people just have stuff against the Patriots, but the Giants, I think. But that means Dwayne Haskins drops like a light. I don't know why I keep saying that. Drops like a rock in the water. Like, I mean, who's the next team that's available? Like, let's look at the draft order right now, shall we? And we'll look at the teams that thought were going to draft quarterbacks. I thought that the Jaguars would trade up and draft Kyler Murray under the nose of the... just like for the 4th overall pick, or trade with the Buccaneers 5th overall pick, you know? I thought that was going to go down. I didn't imagine the Cardinals actually going with what they're going for. But, see, it's Arizona 1, who are most likely going to take Bosa. Or not Bosa, excuse me. It's going to be, Murray. San Francisco doesn't need one because they have Garoppolo. The Jets drafted Darnold last year, so they're fine. Oakland has Derek Carr. This is his do-or-die year for Derek Carr. If he doesn't do well this season with Antonio Brown as one of his receivers, then he's done in rings. He's completely done in rings. Number 5, Tampa Bay. They have Jameis Winston, but he's on his last legs too, so I guess they're looking for a quarterback next year if he doesn't succeed this year, because they have a new coach in Bruce Arians, and they basically got him for that purpose. And overall, you're looking at basically, and then the Giants. If the Giants are the ones that trade for Rosen, then he's not, then Haskins ain't going number 6. Number 7, Jacksonville. They just signed Nick Foles to an $88 million contract. He's done. They're not looking for a quarterback. Detroit has Stafford still, so no. Buffalo has Josh Allen, so no. Denver just got Flacco, so no. Cincinnati is a maybe. I mean, Andy Dalton's had his chances. So Andy Dalton. So number 11 might be Dwayne Haskins to Cincinnati. Green Bay, number 12, no, they have Rodgers. 13, Miami, they just got, actually, they just traded away Tannehill. So, yeah, Haskins could be going to Miami, or Daniel Jones or Drew Locke are probably going to Miami. They're the most likely to draft a quarterback out of everyone available in the draft besides besides the Cardinals. And then you have Atlanta. They have Matt Ryan, so they're good. Washington got Case Keenum, so they're not looking for a quarterback at this time. Carolina, they still have Cam Newton, who might be sitting out for this season, but regardless, they're not looking for quarterbacks. Then number 17 is now the new Giants pick. And I mean, if they do get Rosen, this is obviously not going to be a quarterback. So it all depends if he goes to New York or not. Minnesota, they have Kirk Cousins. They're not going to draft a quarterback. Tennessee, they're on the last legs when it comes to Marcus Mariota, but they also just traded for Ryan Tannehill, so they don't need a quarterback. Pittsburgh, no. Seattle, no. Baltimore, number 22. They have Lamar Jackson, so no. Houston, number 23. They have Deshaun Watson, so no. 24 is the Raiders because of the Chicago pick. So I don't think, I mean, maybe Drew Locke just to have a backup quarterback for Derek Carr, but they're not going to draft one at number 4. I know that for, I can almost be certain of that. Philadelphia has Carson Wentz at number 25, so no. I mean, they have the number 25 pick, but they have Carson Wentz, so they won't be looking for a quarterback. Indianapolis, no. Raiders, again, at number 27, no. Chargers, 28. If they're looking to trade for Rosen, I will not be surprised if the Chargers draft a quarterback. And if my calculations are right, I would say that Miami will get Haskins, and L.A. would get either, the Chargers at least, will get either Locke or Jones. So Locke from Missouri or Jones from Duke. So that's how that's going to go. Kansas City, of course not. Green Bay has the number 30th pick in the draft. No. Rams and then New England. So basically, there's four quarterbacks that are projected to go high in this draft. Or the best four quarterbacks in this draft, I say two get taken in the first round. There's not a lot of other teams that need a quarterback or want, it doesn't feel like they want a quarterback. Maybe a team will surprise us and draft a quarterback to marinate longer than usual just because of the fact that, like, they have the team they want, they can compete with. They're just looking at future selection type stuff, future of the franchise through that. But that's just my opinion. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Alliance of American Football and the possible folding of it. We'll be right back right after this.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Football Podcast. Pardon me. You can check out the sports podcast also today that happened this morning, earlier this morning. But moving on from that blunder, The Alliance of American Football. I've said my piece about this league, and I said I've enjoyed it. The name bothers me. I think they should. I've been thinking about new name changes for it. AFA would have been so much better because of the fact that Alliance or American Football Alliance just sounds better in general. But, you know, what are you going to do? Anyways, speaking of this Alliance of American Football, they might not finish, or they might not have a second season. They might not be here for very long. They might be a huge blip on the radar screen, just a little blip on the radar screen. As for the Alliance of American Football, the majority owner, who just put $250 million invested into this league, says they might not last very long due to the fact that the NFL Players Association is not playing ball with them. And this is what he's saying, basically. To be a developmental league, they need to have young players from the NFL to play in the offseason, basically the NFL, so they can get better and maybe look better when it comes down to the regular season. And obviously, the NFL Players Association is ignoring this or saying no to this, basically. And I think I know why. It's because mainly because you're looking at it like this. They're playing football still. They're at the serious risk of injury. And during that time, it's going to be risky to play during the offseason, full contact, high-paced football, you know? So it just, to me, feels more along the lines of too much of a risky investment for the NFL Players Association to be bringing young guys, young talented players into that league and possibly ruining their careers for their NFL and being out on millions and millions of dollars as well. So that is also a possibility of why this is not really working out. But again, the owner or the majority owner of this league has said they've talked about this, and they don't get players that if they don't cooperate with the Players Association, then they have considered to fold the league entirely. So that is a very important important is a strong word. It's more along the lines of just saying in general, this league's in trouble. And how often in the past has this not worked out for certain leagues? Like, if anyone remembers, like, I think it was like the 70s, the World Football League, one season had done, the XFL, one season had done. The USFL has been like the longest second league, if you will, for a team. But they folded as well when they tried to compete with the NFL head-to-head on the same, like, during the same time of the year. So any team, well, but the thing is, this is different because they're not competing straight up with the NFL. They want to work with the NFL. They want to have a working relationship with the NFL. And obviously, the NFL is all, like, I think, like, the NFL is down for it, but the NFL Players Association, the most important person to be on board with this to get those players, is not on board with it. So this might be a complete swing and a miss as early as, you know, we might not even see them play the championship game, you know? It feels like it's leaning towards, like, and we already knew they had problems before. They had major problems with paying I think it was a bunch of players didn't even get paid for a couple of weeks during this time. And that's a serious issue, honestly. If you're not getting paid the first couple of weeks playing football, where you're literally getting hit full contact for a living, you need some compensation for that, obviously. And so with that being said, there's obviously a lot of problems with this league if they had already trouble with this, and then now they're not getting those players that they want from the NFL, those young players. And if I'm those young players, I don't want to play there. If they're having trouble paying, and if they have trouble paying their players, and they almost got caught, if they almost got folded before the midway season, like, why risk that opportunity to Why risk your opportunity in the NFL to play in the this developmental league, you know? It just doesn't seem like it's the right move in general, business-wise. So I get the understanding why the player association is hesitant at this moment with this new league. And if I had to make a guess, this might be a one and only, this might be a one season only kind of thing. And just because there's already so many problems with this league, they've already had like many issues and many questions about this league in general. How can this league continue? You know? I mean, I know like the NFL had this kind of thing when they were like in the 20s and 30s, like a lot of teams, like there was a lot of different other leagues and a lot of teams folded and checks bounced and all this stuff. But that was in the 20s and 30s. This is today's time. You know, I feel like with national television and the height of football in general, it's interesting to think that a national, well, it's honestly turning into national, the national pastime football is. It's America's game now, you know. With that being said, though, there's still only one place to go, and that's the NFL. And it just seems to me that even with the XFL also coming, who are said they are competing with the NFL, which is not the best idea. Because what I think they should do, which I think they're saying they're going to pick guys out of high school to play in this league, which I think will be the best possible situation. I just like to look at it as like an alternate to college. Like XFL should be, or any other football league should not be competing with the NFL in general. They should have the players come out of college early or come out of high school and play right away. So, and then they can get drafted that way and be eligible after like 1 year playing with them, you know? So that's how it should be, to me, at least. I think it should be more along the lines of just an alternate route to the NFL. You can still make money that way. It could compete with NCAA football, I feel like. And you will get a lot of players coming your way that have a lot of hype going into them. Instead of being five-star recruits going to college, they're five-star recruits going to the XFL. I feel like it just works out that way. But competing with the NFL, becoming a quote-unquote professional league, or I guess, is just not going to work for the XFL, just leading on towards the AAF and that being possibly folded. They did the proper route by saying developmental league, but obviously they didn't work out all the kinks for it. There's obviously some stuff that's, well, how do I explain this? There's obviously missing pieces to that developmental league. That's why it's not really working. Do we know those kinks, those problems, those all problems yet? Probably not. There's probably a lot more to it than that we, the public knows. But in general, that's how I think a league should go, is mainly just based off of an alternative route to the NFL. Because the NFL will always be top-notch. The Super Bowl is a worldwide phenomenon. So regardless of what you do, you can never compete with that. The Super Bowl will always be that way. That means the NFL will always be where it is. And in general, that's just how it works, you know? That's just life. Death, taxes, and the Super Bowl. I mean, we're just going to be, like, there's no way that you're going to compete with that. No championship game can compete with the Super Bowl. March Madness is a big maybe. And the World Series, not even close. NBA championship, give me a break. The Super Bowl is the pinnacle of championship games. Nothing can compare to it. World Cup of soccer is the one that I think is the best competition for it, because it's a worldwide sport as well, and the world is watching, you know? That's the closest I think when you come down to when it comes down to looking at different leagues other than the NFL that throw the pigskin around, you know? It just seems like it's a better alternative to not compete with the NFL, and that's what the AAF was doing, but they had to rely on NFL players. And why on earth would NFL players come to a league where they could injure themselves, not get paid very much, and lose opportunity at millions of dollars? It just doesn't work that way. It just can't work. It honestly cannot work. And that's just the way it is. And I think if that's what they're relying on, and what I mean they, I mean the AAF is relying on NFL players to come, young NFL talent to come and play for them, they're doomed. Because like I said, there's no reason to do that. I guess you could say they could move up their stock when it comes to NFL and signing bonuses and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just feel like it's a losing battle if you're a young NFL player and you're going to go to another league where you possibly can get seriously hurt, God forbid, and lose millions of dollars. See? That's just how I feel like it's going to work, how this all is working out. But we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Antonio Brown and his trade and how the executives of the league are scared about this, or maybe not scared, worried about this whole situation. We'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Just finished talking about the AAF and the possible, well, failure that the league is leading towards. So moving on from that, let's talk about Antonio Brown again. You thought we were done talking about him. I thought we were too. But the executives of the NFL are worried. So, NFL rumor says, unanimous exec says Antonio Brown forcing his trade is, quote, dangerous. And this is the article, thanks to Bleacher Report by Tyler Conway. Some executives around the NFL are worried that Antonio Brown's forcing a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers would set a dangerous precedent other stars might try to follow. Quote, it's a problem. Other star players see this and might want to do the same. An executive told Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com. I know the Steelers had a difficult situation and needed to get rid of him, but they had other options. The Steelers traded Brown with 3 years remaining on his contract, which included $21.1 million cap hit, the highest dead cap number for a player in NFL history. And so basically what this anonymous executive is saying is, what is this stopping other franchise-like or superstar players from wanting out of off a team, and due to that off a team situation, they lose on millions and millions of dollars worth of cap space? You know, it might lead to serious. Well, honestly, benefits definitely the NFL players. Not so much for the executives who are losing out on this dead cap they're going to be getting. Do I see this happening in the future? Do I see a guy like an Antonio Brown type player who's a superstar but has some diva qualities be demanding a trade which will cost the Steelers millions, or costing a team millions and millions and millions of dollars in free agency and kind of doom them for the next year? Honestly, yes. Why wouldn't it? Why won't you? If you saw Antonio Brown successfully do it and you're at that caliber, why not take that opportunity? Like, this only benefits the player. Obviously, it's kind of a selfish thing. You're not thinking about the team, blah, 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 blah. I get that part if you're on one side. But in general, like, it's totally going to happen. There's totally going to be at least, maybe not successful attempts, but attempts nonetheless to try and get those big contracts. Or you hate a team so much, like Antonio Brown just did not want to be on the Steelers. Like a guy just does not want to be on a team so badly, he's going to be asked to be traded to another team. And regardless of how long his contract is, that's what's going to happen. You know? I can totally see it happening. Any player in the NFL right now that could happen to? I mean, the closest I could possibly think of is Odell Beckham, but he just got traded, so that's not happening. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head right now that could be in that same position. Like, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver, just a player in general. Like, I guess if you said that Khalil Mack said, you know what, Chicago, I want out. I want to be done with this team. I can't win. Just total exaggeration, of course. Obviously, this is not the case, but he's just like, I want out. I'm looking for a new team. Trade me. But our dead cap would be absurd. Well, I don't care. I won't play for you. I think this is a continuation of a fighting battle where I'm going to hate it here and you're going to hate me being here, and it just feels like this isn't working out. And then they're like, okay, fine, we'll trade you. Dead cap money to the roof. Probably, we'll probably, if with Griff Kilmiak's size of his contract, it'll probably be just like, it'll probably be more than Antonio Brown's dead cap. So, basically, don't be surprised if this happens again. Will it happen in the near future? I don't know. But I would definitely say, that there is more than a couple opportunities for this all to go down. And so don't be surprised if this all happens again. And it's all about the player's personality as well, too. You got to look at that. You got to look at it that way. But also, you're looking right in, like, you're looking towards the, basically into the player's psyche, and you're looking in, like, a player just saw this. So the world just saw what Antonio Brown did and got what he wanted and got a contract and got out of a team. Regardless of the dead cap that presented the team, he forced their hand. So why wouldn't that happen again? Why wouldn't a player of that caliber see that in the future and go, you know what? I just saw him do this. Why wouldn't this work for me? You know? It just makes sense that way, you know? It just makes sense that someone will follow that along and use it as a reference, if you will, to be to get a better deal from another team and just play for a better team, maybe. Obviously, Antonio Brown didn't go to a better team. He went to a possibly better situation for him, but in general, probably not the best team, not even close. But you're looking at this and going, okay, Well, who's gonna be the who's likely the next one? Probably someone in the draft the next year or two. I'm gonna be honest. I don't see any current NFL players right now in that kind of situation. Honestly, Le'Veon Bell was like the only other guy, ironically, in that situation. But he was gonna be a free agent, so it wasn't a loss. It wasn't gonna cost them any money. For the Steelers. This was unprecedented in the fact that he still had multiple years left on his 3 years left on his contract. And like, even with of how much this would affect the cap, the dead cap the Steelers would have. Like, of course, what Antonio Brown just did is legendary, basically. He did basically the impossible. He made a team trade him, so he wins that trade, but the team loses that trade, you know? I mean, they traded for virtually nothing, bunch of dead cap, lose, win-lose situation, player wins. Sometimes that, most of the time, the players lose, let's be honest. Most of that time, the players lose that situation because of the fact that they have no say. He was about to get traded to Buffalo, and he refuse, and that changed everything. You know, it just, how on earth can one guy who had legitimately no say in where he could go ended up going where he wanted to go? Antonio Brown did what no one else was it could have ever done. It's I'm impressed. I'm legitimately impressed. But I think everyone's like, it's like that from Anchorman. He's like, I'm not even mad. I'm just impressed. That's just impressive. He did something. He changed how trades are going to work now for superstars, at least. There's going to be some guys that have literally no say and are just going to have to deal with it. But for those high-profile, celebrity-like players, it's definitely going to change how these trades work and how these off-season maneuvers work. Like, the monumental trade that happened with this is insane. And I can't get over it. Because we won't see the true effects of this until this happens again. So, next time we see a potential trade or potential superstar in this same situation, we'll see if history repeats itself. I'm looking forward to it. I love me some drama. I think we all love some drama. And, you know, I just... Isn't sports great? Isn't football amazing? Because the offseason, it's just the offseason. Like, look at baseball's offseason was a big snooze fest. And then we're looking at this offseason, and there's news left and right. Gotta love the world of football. Especially the NFL. That's why no one can compete with it. But that is our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have the soccer podcast coming up today, so tune into that. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.